If you're on Instagram, you've likely come across the beautifully curated Plant Oasis home of my friend Samantha from House Plus Plant. She's back on the podcast today because she's been captivating the desires of plant parents for years, sharing her practical plant care tips, but also her gorgeously styled home. She has over 300 plants, but she's moving and she's changing her approach to plant collecting and styling. And we're both actually in a transitional season of life, which is affecting our plant collections. And so we dive in. We have a really honest conversation about the ebb and flow of plant parenthood. But also, if you are going to have a beautiful home filled with plants, there are rules, there are guidelines that Samantha lives by that she shares with us very generously. So without further ado, here's our chat. Welcome to the Growing Joy with Plants podcast, where we not only learn how to care for plants successfully, but how to simply and affordably use our plant babies to cultivate more joy in our lives by doing so. I'm Maria, former plant killer turned happy plant lady, author of Growing Joy, The Plant Lover's Guide to Cultivating Happiness, speaker, podcaster, and most importantly, your new best plant friend. On Growing Joy with Plants, you'll find conversations about houseplant care, gardening tutorials, and wellness through the lens of plants. Hi, plant friends. My name is Maria. I am here to help you care for plants and grow joy through connecting with nature. If you're new here, welcome. If you're a returning listener, welcome home. Before we dive into today's conversation, I just want to remind you that I have an academy. It's called the Growing Joy Academy, and it's a collection of short mini courses that are specifically designed for certain situations that you get into. So they're small courses that are super affordable for the moments in life that you need support. We have a Repot with Confidence course to help you repot your plants and make you feel successful. We have a Houseplant SOS course, which talks about how to address pests and fungus gnats and fungal issues, wilted leaves, yellowing leaves. If your plants aren't doing well, this course helps you identify and treat whatever your issue is. We have a course on how to create your perfect list of plants that work for your light. We have a fundamentals course. So whatever you need, I've probably got a little mini course for you at a really affordable price. So you can use the code podcast to get 10% off at growingjoywithmaria.com/courses. Now, enough talking about my courses. This is such a fun conversation with Samantha. Let's dive in. Samantha, welcome back and welcome to the Authors Club.
Thank you. Happy to be back.
So excited for you. How does it feel to be in your final sprint of publishing your first book?
Truly amazing. Like, surreal is really the only word I can use. But I'm so happy to be at this point. It's been such a long process and I just want people to get it in their hands so that they can see what I love about it.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. You're a friend of the pod. You've been on the show before. So I'm so curious. You've had so much in your life change since you were last on the podcast. So catch us up.
Yeah. I mean, writing a book that took about a year and a half, I'd say, which is crazy to think. During all of that, we decided we're going to build a house. So we've been doing that.
You've been building a house like from the ground up, like from studs,
yes,
right?
100%. Like, yeah, we found a piece of land. We were like, we're going to build a house. We started from the ground up. And it's been a really interesting process. It's been amazing, but also I'll be very happy for that to be done. And we're getting to the finish line there too. So a lot is happening there. Kids are growing up, you know, all the things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you were designing this house, because you literally got to design your dream house, how much did plants inform your design aesthetic in terms of like window placement and that kind of stuff?
Oh my gosh, like 90%, like literally
really?
The entire lot that I chose. Yes.
Oh, tell me
down
more.
To the direction of the lot and where I knew I'd have windows and things like that. So I wanted, my dream would be to have like huge south-facing windows. And we do have huge windows in the house, but I just knew that like, it'd be so hot all the time. It's bad for living in a house like that. It would just feel like a greenhouse, literally. You'd just be hot, glare on the TV, all the things. So the next best, in my opinion, is east facing. Because again, if you go west with your big windows, hot afternoon sun, can't relax. Morning sun is so nice and beautiful and gentle. But with the huge windows, they go pretty much floor to ceiling. Wow. Almost, I think they're like 16 foot. So they're really tall. So we'll have a lot of light coming in for a lot of the morning. But then when it gets really hot in the day, we'll have some just, you know, ambient light. So that was the, like, I was like, I want the house to face this direction for that reason. My plant room that I'm doing is kind of, it's going to be above the garage, but it has south and west facing windows. So nice. Lots of light for my plants there.
So you're going to, building a dedicated plant room?
I mean, yeah, but also could someday be like a bunk room for the kids, hangout room. Like, I didn't want it to be like, I didn't want it to feel like a greenhouse with just windows everywhere, mm-hmm. because my goal for the whole house was to have my plants a lot of different places in the house versus my house I'm in now. I really don't have that much space that works for plants. So I have to have them all congregated in one area. Mm-hmm. So in the new house, I was like, I want to enjoy them everywhere, not have to go to one room to enjoy them. So that was kind of the goal with that. So yes, the room will be my office / plant room, but I'm going to have more plants everywhere in the house than I do now. So that was my goal for building a house. My husband had other goals.
I feel like that's an interesting thing people don't talk about in the Instagram mm-hmm. space is like perceivably, like one would think when they see your Instagram that your whole house looks covered in plants. But mm-hmm. because you know how to take care of plants, most Instagram plant people, like their plants are all in one room or in yes. one corner. Like when I first started with plants, when I lived in New York City, we had southern facing windows, but they were only on one side of the apartment. So all my plants were on one side of the apartment. And then the other mm-hmm. side of the apartment had no plants or had grow lights with plants in them.
Yes.
And so I think that is a funny like Instagram versus reality thing that people necessarily think about.
Yeah, you think, oh, plant person, plants everywhere in your house. In reality, it's like they're in two rooms.
Yeah.
You know, all just squished together. And I really didn't want to have, I will probably have grow lights in a couple areas still, but I just didn't want to rely on grow lights only, even though they've come a long way and they're gorgeous now. Mm-hmm. I just really wanted to be able to have my plants thrive kind of wherever I want to put them with the amount of light, the natural light they get. So we'll see how it goes. I mean, it could change, but for now, I think I have some good spots for some plants.
So I'm curious, when did you get into plants in this house? 10 years ago?
When we moved here. So I think we've been here for about 8 years.
Okay.
And so when we moved here, I was like, this room is perfect for plants. So
you cultivated that aesthetic in this house.
Yes.
How do you feel like your aesthetic might change as you move into this new house?
I think I've had the same type of like jungle aesthetic in this house for 8 years. They were all just kind of congregated in one area. My main goal for the new house is to truly make them feel like they're much more part of the house versus just one room full of plants. So I'm planning a lot of, I've been kind of getting rid of a lot of plants that are either duplicates or ones that I know I won't have space for or want to make space for. So in my collection, I've had up to like 300 plants. And I would say I'm probably a little over 100. So I probably almost in half just because, out of necessity, I don't want to move 300 plants, especially if I know I'm not going to want to keep all of them. But I just want it to feel more intentional versus collector. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that makes sense. Like, you know, I got rid of my greenhouse cabinet, which, you know, I just was kind of over that. I just want it to look like my plants did when I was growing up and my mom had plants in the house. Like they were just part of the decor, not like all your focus goes to the plants. Yeah. So I want them to feel more intentional in where I'm putting them versus just like, wow, she has a lot of plants. You know,
I so relate to that. Oh my gosh.
So I think that's what a lot of people are going to be moving towards after the pandemic and everybody went plant crazy. I feel it can, you know, we all go through, you just had a baby. Like I'm sure you're kind of in mm-hmm. the mode of like declutter.
I'm going to get out of here right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll call myself out. I have a lot of dead plants right now with an 8-week-old baby.
Oh my gosh, I can't. Yeah, there's so, and we all go through those parts of our lives where mm-hmm. we're really into it. And then, you know, life does its life things. And we're like, okay, we got to take a step back from our plants. And then we can kind of come to it again. So basically what I'm doing is keeping the plants that I know will be hard to replace, that I absolutely love, ones I've had, generational plants, ones I've had for a long time. The other ones that I'm like, oh yeah, I could find that at any Home Depot. Oh yeah, I could go get another one here. Those I'm letting go and I feel good about it.
Yeah, I am in the same place. And it's interesting because part of me also is like, I'm getting rid of plants, but then also like my taste in plants is kind of changing. So I'm also like, mm-hmm. I want one big plant for my bathroom and I don't have any one big plant. So I'm actually probably going to buy a plant for my bathroom, even though I'm like getting rid of a lot of other plants or frankly killing a bunch of plants. I feel like my taste has changed. Like, do you feel like your taste in what plants you're keeping? Is there a common theme in terms of what type of plants you're keeping?
Yeah, big. I'm not keeping any. The smallest plant I have is probably like a 6-inch like trailing plant. Like and that's another reason why I got rid of like the cabinet, because I could really only have little plants in there. And I just want the big plants ever. I want statement plants.
Yes, me too.
And plants that I can group together that make a statement, but yet like all the little ones were driving me crazy. So there are some tricks if you have a bunch of little ones and you want to, you know, combine them. There's things you can do to kind of take away the feeling of a bunch of little plants and create one that looks like a pretty bouquet of plants. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't feel like so overwhelming of watering, you know, a lot of 2-inch pots. So, I mean, there's things I've been doing with that, like, you know, combining some plants and putting them some different areas where, you know, at the base of a tall plant, I've been putting smaller plants in their same pots on top of the soil of the bigger plant, you know, and just kind of, so then when I water it, I want them all at once. So
it's like the thriller, filler, spiller mentality.
It is. Yes. And I feel like people need to know that you can do that and not be afraid of, like, you know, I have a plant I'm looking at right now. I have a Hoya hanging on my Ficus altissima tree. It's just in its hanging plant or just hanging on one of the branches, you know, like you can kind of, well, out of necessity, I had to put them wherever I could fit them.
Yeah.
But you can also do that intentionally.
No, totally. And I think it's important for people to hear that even you, you know, Samantha, millions and billions of followers on Instagram, known for her plants, is going from 300 plants to 100 plants. Mm-hmm. It's getting rid of plants. Absolutely. It's changing her aesthetic. Like, just because your plant collection looked one way originally or last year doesn't mean that you have to stay tethered to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's a lot of guilt with getting rid of plants for a lot of people. A lot of people have guilt. It's just, especially throwing them away. I don't really have to throw any away. I can mostly give them away, but people have a really hard time letting go of plants. And I get it, because you put in so much time and effort to them. But I've always just been that if it's not making me happy to look at it and I don't want the challenge of fixing it, it's gone.
Yeah. I feel like at this moment in my life, once again, I get all the passes because I have an 8-week-old baby and I'm a first time mom.
But like, yeah,
I'm almost too comfortable like with that. I'm like too comfortable with letting go at this moment. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny because my mom will come to my house and she'll see, like, right now in my house, it's survival of the fittest. Like, if you can't make it with like me forgetting to water you, like, I'm just like kind of letting you wither in your pot. Or I live in Florida, so I'm putting you in my backyard and you're just like growing.
Yeah, you're on your own.
into the soil. And she's like, are you going to water your plants? And I'm like, no, not in this season, Mom. Yeah. But it's funny because I'm like getting judgment.
But totally.
It can be, you can take it on. And I used to be like that too. I've cried over plants that have died in my care. And you just hit a moment where you're like, oh, this doesn't need to be that insane.
Yeah.
But the bigger plants are more expensive. So I do feel like once the investment is there, you do feel like you want to take care of it a little bit better.
Investment, either monetary or time investment. Like, both of those are things that make it really hard to let go. But I will also say it's funny because I have 4 kids. You have your little Bubba boy. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that you're going to be like, hold on to everything so tight. The more kids you have, just like with the more plants you have, you're like, it's okay. Like, we can let some things go. I don't hold so tight. It's like little things that with my firstborn that I was like so uptight about and just had to have right and all these things. By my 4th, I'm like, you're good, you know? Yep. So it's kind of like the more plants I have too, I'm like, if you look a little rough right now, you're fine.
Right.
Like,
figure it out.
Care of you once we have time, and then you'll bounce back.
So you fall down, walk it off, get back up and walk it off. Yeah. If your bone isn't sticking out of your arm.
No bubble wrap.
You're fine.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So
do any of your kids, do you have 4 boys?
No, I have girl, boy, girl, boy.
Girl, boy, girl, boy. Yeah, are any of them into plants these days?
I think, my oldest is 13. She's, you know, going into, what is it, 7th, 8th grade now. She definitely is like, Mom, like when we're walking through the house, the new house, you know, going through things, she's like, Mom, this would be a great spot for a plant. Or she'll be like, you can put a picture here. Mom, maybe you can put a plant here. My little ones are like, if I have a plant, they're like, or, you know, look at the store with one. They're like, Mom, you do not need any more. You have so many plants and stuff like
that. You're like, eye roll.
But I think that they would, if they were all gone tomorrow, like all the plants were gone, I think they would really miss it and they would feel really weird because they've literally grown up with plants everywhere. So they do all occasionally say, oh, can I have that one for my room? Can I, you know, all that stuff. So I think slowly but surely they'll get there. It's kind of like when you're immersed in it all the time, though, you can take it for granted a little bit.
You know, it's
but fun. I think that they'll want some stuff for their room.
See, I've been really intentional about what I'm putting in my body, particularly when it comes to sugars and dyes and all the weird stuff that we find in packaged food. And I am so thankful that I have had Manucora Manuka honey in my back pocket for years now as my go-to sweetener for coffees, yogurts, and sometimes just as a little snack on a spoon. You've heard me talk about Manucora honey on this podcast because I use it in my coffee to make my brown sugar shaken espresso dupe. It is this rich, creamy, caramel tasting honey. It's unlike any honey you've ever tasted. Even just by looking at it, you know it's like so much better than your you know, grocery store honey bear. But it's not only delicious, it's ethically produced by Manukora's master beekeepers in the remote forests of New Zealand. And it has bioactives in it that have 3 times more antioxidants and prebiotics than regular honey. And these help support your cells and gut. And all you need is 1 heaping teaspoon each morning to get the most out of those bioactives. So if you've been hearing these ads for a while, because you know I've been loving Manucora for years, and you've been curious, now is a great time to try it. Head to manucora.com/bloom to save up to 31% on your first purchase. Plus, you get $25 worth of free gifts with the starter kit. It comes with the MGO 850+ Manuka honey jar. I've gone through so many of those. 5 honey travel sticks, which are amazing for vacations, a wooden spoon, and a guidebook. So check it out at Manukora, manukora.com/bloom to save 31% plus $25 worth of free gifts. Yeah, you know, it's funny. I've interviewed so many plant people right now. Mm-hmm. Right. And when I ask, like, how did you become the plant parent that you are today? Frequently, I get one of 2 answers. One is, I killed all my plants and I had to figure out how to care for them because I wanted to. And I like muscled my way through it. And like, I was plant blind as a kid. Like, that was my experience. It's like, I didn't pay attention to plants. Or I grew up with plants. I grew up on a farm. I grew up, my mom had houseplants in our window. Mm-hmm. They were part of my life and I didn't know how special it was until I went to college.
Yes, and all of a sudden, that was me.
Yes. And I didn't have plants and I missed them. And so I started to learn how to care for them again. So yeah, I feel like no matter what, your kids will absolutely have that experience down the line. It's just that that's like 10 years from now.
Yeah. And my mom, it's so funny you say that about the college thing, is my mom literally sent me to college with a golden pothos cutting from her plant that was probably like, who knows how old, 20 plus years old.
Right.
And that thing has seen so many things and like so has been so bad, like all the way down to like 2 leaves left, but it held on and it's still in the same pot that she gave me. Now, like, listen, this is one of those like do as I say, not as I do situations because I've never repotted that plant. I just keep adding some soil on top. I make sure it's fertilized. I do like some soil conditioner. I just don't want to repot it now. I feel like now it's just like,
I need to
keep it going. It's been like 15 years or more, you know, it's crazy. But yeah, and it's still, it's one that I probably told you this before, but it's the one that like grows on my wall in my plant room and stuff. And so that will be making the move. That's one of those generational plants that I'm like, that needs to come with me. And that I want to like take cuttings and make sure I'm growing more for my kids and stuff like that.
Oh my God, the day that you send your daughter to college. And you give,
she only has like 5 more years. It's crazy.
And she takes a cutting of that plant. Yeah, I want to like write a song about that. That's an amazing story.
I'm not musical at all. So if you write a song, I would love it.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
Yeah. It's crazy. Time flies.
What aspect of your house are you the most excited about?
The windows. Honestly, it is just, I mean, memories for my kids, of course, because they've watched this whole build process as well. And so I think it's just been so amazing to see something like the perseverance of building a house, plus just seeing it literally be built from the ground up, seeing the people that work on it and how like their craftsmanship and their skill and their, you know, all those things are so cool for the kids. Them dreaming up their rooms and how they want their rooms to look, you know.
Yeah.
It's just, I think seeing it all come together and like that first night in your new house is always so weird. Like we've moved, you know, a few times, like we've never built before. So I think it's just going to be so weird to remember every step of the way the first night that we stay there. You know, like I kind of want to go back through because I have videos of all of it too, you know, from break. Like we literally went the night we bought the lot, it was just dirt. And we went and we like dug up some dirt and put it, you know, like broke ground ourselves with little shovels and all the kids were there and stuff. So I just kind of want to like revisit all those videos. I might make a little montage or something to watch the first night we're in the house. I don't know yet.
It'll be so sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just the kids being able to figure out their own rooms space. And like, yeah, that is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, then I'm also just thinking
kind of, but yeah, it's going to be different.
Yeah. I'm thinking about like all the content opportunities you're going to have to make. And do you have any like projects you immediately want to undergo?
Just setting up my plant room, I think will be the biggest thing that I'm going to want to film and stuff. And I mean, it's hard. There's a fine line between wanting it all to just be done.
Yep.
When we move in versus little added things I can do here and there to make it even more special after the fact. So there's some things like I want to do like a big wallpaper feature wall, you know, and I'll probably do that after and film that stuff. But really, it's probably just going to be showing a lot about how I set things up because it is just so different than my current setup of my house.
Mm-hmm.
We do have a pool we're putting in, which is crazy. That's getting put in now. So setting up my plants around the pool is going to be so fun. Lots of yards, like lawn, like plants, all that stuff being done. I'm going for English garden vibes. So it should be really fun to show outdoor plants too, because I do that a little bit, but not as much. So I think people love to see that too. But yeah, I just think there's a lot of opportunities. Organization, like how I'm going to set up my kitchen organization, my pantry, you know, all that stuff. There's so many things. I'm probably just going to end up turning into like a house.
Those are my
content creator.
I know. I was going to say, those are like my favorite videos to watch on TikTok is the organization thing.
Or the fridge organization, all the things. I'm really strong with it for like a week and then it all just goes to crap. So,
well, with four kids, I would assume. Right. Like that's a tall order.
How I want all the time, but nobody else can keep it the way I want it. So,
yeah,
I got to let that go.
Oh my gosh. I'm, you know, in the same boat with you as I just moved into our house.
Yes.
And we bought an old house still in the 70s. Sam, my garage has carpet. My garage is carpeted.
My goodness.
It's incredible.
It's insane. Maybe it needs to come back. I don't even know. They obviously
have. No, it should not come back. It should absolutely not come back. My garage has carpet. Our house was trapped in the 70s. We pretty much gutted it and renovated it all during my pregnancy, which was insane. And then
it had crazier than building, to be honest, because you rip things down and you find so many more issues along the way. Ugh.
Yeah. Like we had mold in Florida. We had mold. So we ended up renovating, but it worked out because we ended up renovating our primary bath because the shower had mold in it that we didn't know when we bought it. But we have like a kick-ass primary bath.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But, sometimes, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
Hurt the wallet. But
But
anyway, why did I bring that up? I feel you on the fine line between wanting it done and wanting it right and wanting it beautiful because, I mean, my baby came early, so we didn't get to like finish unpacking and moving in. And there was definitely like a laundry list of things that I wanted to do before he arrived. And then obviously now that he's been here and I've been in, you know, first time momhood.
Yeah, you're not doing anything. Yeah,
I'm not
cuddling and
exactly. And like trying to sleep.
Yeah.
So, you know, we don't have art on the walls. Like I don't have a bookshelf. Like we don't have the place for my books yet. Like, and I could just like Amazon some random thing, but then like, I do want to sit in the house for a minute and think about, okay, like what is the flow? Like what would make the most sense?
Yeah.
I'm trying to approach the whole redesign with biophilia in mind too. So like similar to what you're doing, you know, where can I put a plant or how can I incorporate nature into this, you know, wall or this whatever? But it takes time and it's hard because you want it to just be done and you want to sit in your calm space.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not necessarily how it works out.
I'm a very like, do it now person. So for me, but I also agree, I want to collect pieces versus just, like you said, grabbing something quick off Amazon, which I will always do.
Always.
I mean, it's always an option. But for like the bigger furniture pieces and, you know, even like plant stands. I'm like, I want to find some cool, unique, antique one or something. Something that has more meaning. I feel like in this house here, I had, because I just got so many plants pretty quickly once we moved here, I was like, out of necessity, kind of like you, I just had to have something. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it sits there for 7 years and it works and I don't want to get rid of it and it's fine. But in this house, I definitely want to kind of find things that have more of a story. So I'm excited about that.
Well, that's so amazing. I mean, that's amazing. And you have the time and the prep and the control, frankly, because you're building the house to like do what you want with it, which is amazing.
Yeah.
So I felt like this was no better time than to have you on the podcast to kind of talk about your design aesthetic and how you approach this idea of making plants elevate your home, not overwhelm your home. Because I think probably a lot of listeners might be sitting there right now being like, wow, this plant collection has gotten overwhelming, or this isn't curated anymore. And then that's never fun when the plants that we buy to make us happy make us stressed. So I know you've come up with some tips for the audience on how to get that classic house plus plant aesthetic.
Yep.
What do you think is like the most important thing that you do when you approach styling plants?
Yeah, I think for me, it's just trying to find more creative ways to display them beyond just your normal plant stand or hanging it in a window situation. Mm-hmm. So I think for me, I get really happy and excited when I can find a way to hang them that's a little bit more untraditional. Even like I said, like hanging one in a tree, like hang a hanging pot in one of your larger trees that have, you know, more sturdy branches. Or I do love the clear window shelves. I've had the clear window shelves forever. I'm probably going to be bringing them to the new house too. I love having those because you can kind of create curtains with your plants. Mm. And so, you know, people, it can block the harsh sun, but your plants love it. And then people walking by can't see in, but they can see your pretty plants. So I do love that. Finding ways to make the plants art. So hanging them on your wall, but using a frame around them, or, you know, and adding a little picture light, things like that to kind of create more unique ways of displaying them that would make people actually want to stop and look at them. And then it also makes it so that you can see them better too, versus just having them in a clump with a bunch of other plants.
Mm-hmm. Talk to me about the frame. I saw that on your Instagram. It's so clever and cute. You could do a whole gallery wall that way.
You could totally do a gallery wall. And actually in the new house, I have a spot where I had them hardwire picture lights and they're like, oh, it'd be so cute to put pictures of your kids here. And I'm like, nope, there's only three picture lights. I'm putting plants there.
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to be for the kids. But I just love the idea of highlighting a plant in a way that's not your typical way. So I do love, I mean, I feel like when you go through any, I don't know, we've toured some different like big, what's that mansion in like North Carolina? I can't think of it right now. But there's one where you can go through and there's like, they have an atrium in the middle and everything, but they just display, what is that one? I can't think of it. But anyway, they just display plants in such a cool way. And it just feels like they're part of your decor versus being like a plant on a shelf in your window, you know?
So that it ends up literally being the art. The frame is a real take, like
the frame is a very explicit
take on it. But
yes,
approaching plants, similar to what you said with statement plants, like approaching one statement plant as a piece of art that you might have to invest in, right? Because larger plants tend to be more
expensive. They're expensive. Yes.
And then the planter also. The planters are more expensive than the plants. These planters.
They are. Yes. They're crazy, especially for the really big ones, but it is worth it.
It's totally worth it. So that approach of, okay, how is this art instead of just like something sitting on your shelf or your coffee table? Because you only have so many coffee tables in your home to put a plant.
Yes. Yeah. And it shouldn't ever feel overwhelming either. I feel like people are like, oh, I don't know how to display them or whatever. But it really can be however. Just like look around and see how you're using other things. If you have a shelf with something on it that's hanging on your wall, you can always put a plant there and use a little grow light. But I don't know. I feel like there's so many unique ways and the internet is full of them, you know, so you can go and explore different ways to display your plants. But I just think you got to think outside the box as far as a plant doesn't have to be on a plant stand, you know, or it doesn't have to be in a hanging basket in your window. You can find other ways to display them.
Yeah. Or frankly, just in a normal planter. You know, you can turn anything into a planter these days. I think, too, the frame thing that's cool is going vertical, you know, like not even just thinking of your plants have to sit on something, but how can I put them on the wall? Like I have this green wall behind me.
Yes, I love your green wall. Yeah.
Or, you know, hanging them like on a frame or mm-hmm. putting some shelving that you then put the plants on. But like mm-hmm. the purpose of the shelving is basically for your plants.
Yeah. Hanging them from the ceiling. Like it's awesome to hang it from the ceiling. And I've seen people where they pin the vines up to the ceiling mm-hmm. as well. And it's growing, you know, I just think that's so cool too. So yeah. I mean, there's a lot of ways. You kind of just got to sit there though and look around and say like, okay, where do I want to plant and what could be cool, a cool way to display it.
Visually, how are you grouping plants? Like, what do you feel like is a successful recipe for an aesthetic mm-hmm. Vignette?
My number one tip is pick a planter style. It doesn't mean that it has to be the exact same planter in different sizes, but I love a color cohesion in planters. So if I'm going to go, I'm definitely more earthy tones for planters, mm-hmm. but some people are more bright, colorful, which I think can be really fun too. But I would just kind of stick to a color family mm-hmm. because then it doesn't really matter. I just feel like if you have like a lot of like earthy colors, terracottas, and you also have like your bright, sunny yellow and your, you know, gem mm-hmm. colors, things like that, it can be a little bit jarring and it doesn't really let the plants shine as much. And so mm-hmm. if you do kind of earthy tones or if you want all the colors of the rainbow, that's fine too. But like, make sure you are doing that purposefully. Mm-hmm. And then you just can kind of let the plants shine more because your eye doesn't just immediately go to the planter. I love that. And then I also love varying heights, especially if they're grouped together. So nothing mm-hmm. gets hidden. And then different leaf textures and shapes is always good too. So it doesn't look boring and like you're looking at one type of plant.
So when you're grouping plants, you're looking at the texture of the leaves so that you don't have all waxy leaves.
Exactly. Waxy, shiny, or, you know, you want to look for some that are maybe more dull or velvety. And then you can go to the some that are really shiny and sleek. Mm-hmm. Leaf shapes as well, long skinny ones versus round, like, you know, your watermelon peperomia that's stripy and round versus, you know, whatever else you just have to make sure that they like the same amount of light though. I guess mm-hmm. you'd have to remember that you can't just put like a cactus with a, you know, something that doesn't require as much light. So that's one thing you'd have to watch for. But most houseplants, most tropicals can have a lot of variety and require similar care. Mm-hmm. So it should be fine.
Yeah, totally. And to go back to that thriller, filler, spiller idea, it's like,
yeah,
put them all in a planter, but have one that's upright, have one that's trailing. Mm-hmm. The whole process of this green wall is like each pot has an upright plant and a trailing plant. So there's like coverage everywhere.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. Do you believe in the like rule of threes?
But I feel like for plants, it's not as hard and fast because they're so, they kind of flow out and like have mm-hmm. a lot of vines and things like that. You don't always have to have, you can't do only three, only five. I definitely like odd numbers, but it still depends on the type of plant. Like if you have a bunch of upright plants mm-hmm. that you see the pot a lot, you see the stems, then I would definitely lean towards the rule of three. But other than that, I think grouping them together, as long as it does, you just want to make sure you can pick out each individual one and not have it be just a bunch of just like an explosion of plants. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like to your point, the biggest mistake I made in the beginning of collecting plants was that my planter collection was all over the place. Mm-hmm. And it was like so stressful to look at for a nervous system. I didn't
realize even know why until you're like, oh, wait,
It is. And now I have everything in terracotta and like it's such mm-hmm. a great anchor. It's such a earthy rooting anchor.
Yes.
And oh, hold on one second. My mom brain,
that's okay.
I just forgot. Wait, what were we just talking about?
Terracotta planters and all together and grouping plant.
Ooh, it went right out. Okay, let me keep asking questions. I'm just looking at your display anyways. Okay. In terms of the thriller, filler, spiller idea that you were talking about before, do you have like groupings of plants that you find yourself always going towards? Like, do you always put a snake plant with a pothos or like something like that, or it changes?
It changes a little bit, but it usually, there's always a Hoya in there. Always.
Oh, really?
Groups. Always, because they're so much more forgiving with their light needs and their watering needs. They can really deal with a pretty wide range. Mm. So I feel like they're such a constant. And I love them with everything. I think they go well with everything. They look good with everything. There's so many different varieties and leaf shapes and types and I just have a lot of them already. So they're grab.
Do you have a particular type of Hoya that you like the most or that you use the most maybe?
No, not that I use it. No, anything. I mean, whatever I can get my hands on, to be honest. I don't have a favorite. Like, it really is just whatever is kind of available for me to grab to throw in with something, or that I maybe want to feature in front of something. Like, I don't know. I kind of go by vibes.
Yeah. So. Hoyas are another one that I have found are really rewarding when they're big. Like when you buy yes. them big, because I've had a lot.
Absolutely.
I've been given like a lot of Hoya cuttings that like never really quite mm-hmm. took off or like mm-hmm. never bloomed, right? Because they're going to take a minute mm-hmm. to bloom.
Yep.
And then you see these like huge, you know, 8-inch baskets of yes. Carnosa or, you know, Crimson Princess or something that like you just know is going to erupt in blooms for you
yeah.
quickly.
And that's a great point. Any big Hoya I want for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For sure. That's interesting, though, that Hoya is your go-to.
Yeah, it is. It's so easy.
Do you find that they do well for you in like indirect light, though? I don't know. I find that they want.
Yeah, they just grow slower is all.
They just grow slower.
So again, if you're starting with a bigger plant, it doesn't really matter. But I had a lot of smaller Hoyas and I did end up like not really caring for those as much just because I agree with you. They kind of grow slow when they're just getting started.
Yeah.
And a lot of like they're vining plants. And so you have to kind of chop and prop to get a full pot. That can be kind of time consuming. Yeah. So it is, if you can find a Hoya that's already in, even if it's not long and trailing yet or anything, if you can find it in a fuller pot, I would mm-hmm. say always go for that versus one that's just one long vine. So yeah, I mean, Hoyas, they can definitely handle lower light levels. Now, when I say low light, my definition of low light is likely mm-hmm. not the same. I mean, like instead of being 3 inches from a south-facing window, they could handle being 8 feet from a right. south-facing window, mm-hmm. but not like in a dark bathroom with no
right.
light. But they're just, I just love them so much. They yeah. do. They are so rewarding. They bloom. Like not very many of our houseplants bloom.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and they mostly smell good. So some
I
don't
know.
Smell great,
that's
but most
so
of them
cool.
smell great.
I love bloom. I feel like blooming houseplants can be underrated. Hoyas obviously are not underrated, but like my holiday cactus in this green wall that's right over my shoulder was gifted yeah. to me from a friend. So it's very special. But like she blooms 6 times a year for me. Beautiful amazing. Pink blooms. I feel like the holiday cactus is kind of underrated, or
it's very underrated.
Yeah. Or like your basic anthurium. Like it's so nice mm-hmm. to have plants that bloom indoors.
Yeah. I love them. I want to try and find more. I might make that a goal when I'm ready to start collecting more plants to find the ones that will bloom.
Yeah.
But I always just kind of go to Hoyas for that
yeah.
because there's so many unique looking blooms as well.
One of my Hoyas bloomed like right before I gave birth and I basically like missed the whole thing.
Dang it. I know there is a small window.
I was perfect. I mean, great excuse.
Yeah.
You know, no regrets, but I was yeah. like, what a bummer.
I know.
Yeah. Anything else? What's like, what's your favorite aesthetic like install you've done in this existing home that you're sad to take down?
My clear window shelves for sure mm-hmm. because they were custom made for those windows and I think wow. I'll be able to use them anyway because they'll fit anywhere. I could even put them on a wall, but they're custom made for that window, so they just fit it so well.
Wait, so how tell me more about that. How does that work?
The width, so they're three separate pieces because I have three windows across my sunroom. And so it was Beautiful Views. Yeah. Beautiful Views Shelves is the name of the company that did it. And they cut it to the length you need it that fits your window. So I only have a tiny gap between each shelf
mm-hmm.
and they're just wider than what you can get like off of Amazon or whatever. So it's just a more custom size.
That's so cool. And then how do you install yeah. them?
They have different ways of installing, but mine just screw into like the overhang of the window.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Talk about maximizing your window space.
I know. I was maybe going to offer to leave them here for whoever buys the house if they're into plants, just because
mm-hmm.
like I could put them somewhere, but they're also just perfect there. So
yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, we'll see. But yeah, that's probably my favorite. And then just the picture frame
mm-hmm.
one when I had my anthurium there, but I had a anthurium politiflorum, which is like your strap anthurium, mm-hmm. but it just didn't get enough light there. So I had to replace it with the pothos, which is fine.
Yeah.
But I loved it. Like when that anthurium was there, it was so gorgeous. So I absolutely am going to do that in the new house because the plant room will have the right light for it. So that I think I do want to find a couple oval frames and fun things like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
So
that looks so cool. Frames. Mm-hmm. Also, my original thought was, oh, you could do a whole gallery wall of the framed plants. But actually, it probably would look even cooler if you did a normal gallery wall where only a couple of the frames were plants.
Yes, that would be fun.
I think that could look really cool, too. Just as I'm thinking,
there's so
many
options.
I've got a lot of white walls in my
house. Yeah, I'm sure you have a lot of things. Yeah.
I'm like, this isn't much more.
I had them put outlets up high, too, for grow lights.
Genius.
So I could do a ceiling mounted grow light. So
that's so smart. I had my electrician, you're a Soltec girl, right? You've used Soltec before.
I have used it. I like CNC too.
Okay.
So I use both, but I don't.
You're agnostic. You're agnostic.
Yes.
I had my electrician take out the normal light and install the Highland track lights for my green wall.
So smart. Yeah. I didn't think about taking out an existing light and doing that.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great idea. See, there's so
many options for people. And I had him put them on a dimmer and a timer in the wall.
Wow. Like the timer, do you just turn it or is it like
on it's electronic, but it's in the wall next to the light switch.
Love.
And the dimmer is on the light switch. Yeah.
I'm obsessed with that. I might have to steal that idea. That's
amazing. Please do. I didn't even know it's something that you could do. And I was talking to my contractor and I threw it in just being like, hey, random, but because I knew you could put a plant on a dimmer. Mm-hmm. I mean, a light on a dimmer. But I was like, could he install a timer for this? And he did. It was awesome. Oh, totally worth it.
That's a game changer for sure.
Totally worth
it. I'm such a, like, I don't want cords anywhere. I don't want people to know their grow lights. I just want them to be there to help my plants. And so any way that we can kind of disguise that they're grow lights.
Yes.
It's great. I feel like there's so many good ones now too, that just, they're not that like bright blue color anymore, which is so great. They're a nice warm light. You wouldn't even know they're grow lights unless someone pointed it out. So yeah.
Many of them now you can even control like the Kelvin, like you can kind of control the warmth of them, which is so nice. Even with the lights, like several of the lights that we got for our home have different feature. Like you can click through the blue light, the red light, whatever, for like energy or winding down our bedroom light. And I have it always on the red version.
Yes, I have a big red light therapy light thing now and I love it.
It's so good.
They're so good. So much light is so important.
So important. So anything else, any other tips that you might give for, I love the big plant. I love the vertical. I also, you know, I haven't thought that much about textures. I'm going to start thinking more about leaf textures.
Mm-hmm.
Any other tips you want to give?
I mean, I think just making sure that again, it's my goal for the new house, but to have them spread out throughout your house, whether that means you do need to add a grow light, because we just said that they have a lot of good options and you can put a grow light bulb in pretty much any lamp nowadays. Mm-hmm. I think you'll enjoy your plants more if you can see them in more places. At least I know I will, because for me, it's like, I don't get to enjoy my plants unless I'm sitting in my sunroom but I'd love to be able to just be cooking dinner and like, look over and see if there's any yellow leaves on my big, you know, ficus, whatever. Or you just kind of live with them more versus having to be like, okay, I'm going to go in here right now. And it feels more like a chore because I feel like, I got to go in here and then all I see is everything I need to do for the plants. Like, oh, I know that one needs to be repotted. There's some yellow leaves on that one. This needs to be watered. If they're just in my daily flow of my life throughout my house, I think it will feel so much nicer. So I would say if you can spread them out, start working on that. That's a big tip because I think that more people would enjoy them more that way too. So,
and I think people don't understand how easy it is to pop a grow light. Like now you can get bulbs that you literally can just screw. You can replace every bulb in your home, you know, at least in your, you know, floor lamps and your table lamps, stuff like that. Like just put a grow bulb in it and then you can put plants there. Like it's.
Yeah. And I think people, I've gotten the questions a lot about like, well, how much does that raise your electricity bill? And it truly is like pennies a month. Like it's, and for what you get out of it, it's so worth it.
As long as you're going LED. I think it used to be a bigger issue when people were using like T5s and like all of those other, but with the LED smart energy efficient ones, it's like, it's so nominal for comparatively to what you get.
Yeah. And I mean, otherwise your plant might die and then you have to buy a new one and that's more expensive. So I would say go for the grow light.
Yeah. One of the surprising things for me when I moved to Florida was that I didn't realize, I thought, oh, I'm moving to Florida, houseplant capital of the world. Like, I'm going to have so many kids in my house.
Yeah.
And Florida, actually, you have minimal windows and all of those windows have UV treatments on them because the sun is so strong. So every houseplant I have is under grow lights in Florida, which is so ridiculous. Like, I'm like, man, I could have never seen this coming.
I know. Plant people are the crazy people because normal people don't want the sun.
Yes.
Blinding them and shining into their house and heating it up. And like, everybody's trying to get away from the sun. And we're like, we want more.
I know. I know. It's so, funny.
Mean, we'll see how our energy bill is in this new house with all the windows, but I still say it's worth it.
So. Yeah, 100%. 100%. Now, we've got to talk about your book.
Yes.
You will author you. So your book is kind of unique. I mean, you've done a few things that I've not seen other people do in their book. So tell us about House Plus Plant and, you know, everything that people can look forward to when they buy it.
Yes. Yeah, I think I really wanted it to be a book that people could feel like is an extension of my community that we have built together over the past, you know, 6-7 years now. And so I wanted people to feel like it was me. I didn't want to feel like it was out of the realm of what I normally talk about. So I tried to keep my community in mind as much as possible when I was writing it. I wanted them to feel like they were part of it, that they were a part of the journey that it took to write this book. So at the end of every chapter, I absolutely love it. I asked people, and again, this was like a year and a half ago, like when I was doing this, but I would ask people their plant questions. And then I also got permission, if they were fine with it, for me to use their first name. So I would put that at the end of every chapter, questions that I got that related to the chapter, I would put them at the end of the book with my answer below it in kind of like a bubble format, kind of like we're just texting a friend. So people can kind of go and see if their question made the book. And I just think it's so fun. And then another thing that I think is more unique as far as I know that I'm really excited about is QR codes that go to all of my DIYs for plants. Ooh. So those are more towards the end of the book.
DIYs, like the video?
My DIY videos. Yeah. Like, so my Instagram videos of like showing how I did like a one knot plant hanger and things like that. So when you're reading about that in the DIY section, if you're a visual person like I am, you can just scan the QR code and go watch the video on how to make it. So I kind of, it's kind of like, you know, little guide. It's definitely more of a guidebook versus like, I mean, I just want people to be able to, I want people to be able to grab it and be like, oh, how did you do that again? Without having to search through all of my videos on Instagram and just be able to click that, go to it and watch it. As well as if they have a question about a plant or a pest, they can always refer to it as well. So it covers everything from A to Z as far as plant care goes. So
yeah,
I'm really excited about it.
I'm so proud of you. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
So, this episode is coming out before the air date. So you can pre-order the book now. And pre-orders are huge for people who don't know. Pre-orders are like a big thing for publishers. So pre-order link will be in the show notes. When is it published as well if people wanted to go to their local bookshop and get it?
Yep. October 6th, you'll be able to grab it. And then anyone that pre-orders will be, it'll ship out that day too. So, and it's everywhere. Like, I mean, you can get it at Amazon, Target, like Barnes and Noble, like super easy to grab it from wherever you want to shop. So.
How kooky was that the first time you like saw the book listing on Target?
Insane. I literally was like shopping for my like pickup or whatever. And there it is down below. Like, it's just
so crazy.
Amazon too. It's so weird to see it. It's so surreal, like I said, but it's been an awesome experience. So I'm very excited for people to get it in their hands so I can talk about it more with them, because I feel like right now it's kind of like a, oh, what's in it? Blah, blah, blah. But once people can actually see it and go through it, I'm excited to discuss.
100%. Well, congratulations. Everything will be linked in the show notes. And like I said, welcome to the Author Club. It's a fun
place. Thank you so much. You're so sweet. And congrats on your little baby boy. He's adorable.
Thank you. All right, plant friends, grab Samantha's book. It's linked in the show notes. And obviously, go give her a follow on Instagram if you haven't already. I hope this conversation gives you permission to reevaluate your plant collection, to add to your collection, to cut from your collection, but really just to enjoy your plants and enjoy your home, right? That's why we got into plants, to make our homes feel more cozy and beautiful. And Samantha certainly knows how to do that, whether she has 300 plants or 3 plants. So I'm really looking forward to watching her home transformation and also be in the midst of mine as well. So stay tuned up both of our Instagrams for lots of renovation content coming soon. And of course, I hope that you keep growing joy this week.
Plant friend, thank you for tuning in today. It means so much to me that I get to be part of your planty journey. If you like what you heard, make sure you're subscribed to the show so you never miss an episode. We have so many incredible interviews and solo episodes on incredible houseplant and gardening topics that you will not want to miss this year. And while you're over there in the podcast player subscribing, why don't you click over to the review section of Growing Joy with Plants and leave us a review? Reviews are tremendously helpful for the growth of the podcast, so thanks in advance. If you're looking for more opportunities to grow as a plant parent with Growing Joy content, we've got so many options for you. First, I highly recommend you taking the Plant Parent Personality Test. It's free. It's super fun. It takes 3 minutes to complete. At the end of the test, you're going to get your plant parent personality profile and a curated list of plants, projects, and podcast episodes that are right up your alley, tailored just for you and your lifestyle, inspired by your results. The links are in the show notes. If you're looking to uplevel your plant parent game, I have so many free downloads on my website that I think could help you, like the Understanding Natural Light download or 9 different ways to green up your office space. If you'd like to support the show monetarily and help me bring the show to as many people as possible for free, you can head to our Patreon link in the show notes to learn more about our offerings. And finally, I invite you to come hang out with me and continue the planty conversation on social media, on Instagram and TikTok. I'm Growing Joy with Maria. My DMs are always open if you have requests for topics or ideas for the show. Thank you again for listening. It is truly my honor and delight to help you keep blooming and keep growing joy.